Cameras decoding the crime verse.
911, what's your emergency? Hello, hello, and welcome back to Decoding the Crime Verse. My name is Danny, and I'm joined with
Glory.
And today, guys, I am a history buff, so this one, I feel like I always do topics that I enjoy. Glory needs to pick some topics that he enjoys.
I definitely need to pick some topics.
I do the research, so that's probably why. But I am a sucker for the Cold War. I think it's very interesting. What happened in those decades was,
yeah.
It's something that, it's crazy how it never ended up in a full-blown gun conflict.
Yeah.
And it stayed cold, but it, like I said, it's really interesting. And we're diving into quite an interesting story today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it isn't about a single murder or a serial killer. It's about a trial that became a symbol of Cold War paranoia. Okay, and it was a case that split America in two. Okay, so just for reference, the Cold War took place right after World War II. It was between America and, at that stage, it was the USSR, which is modern-day Russia. But it was more a war between ideologies, meaning capitalism, which is free market, business, entrepreneurship, democracy, versus communism, which is state-owned and... yeah, I don't know what else to say about communism except...
yeah.
Anyway, and it was this war to see which ideology was better and more people would pick up that ideology and take it forward. Okay, and so we are talking today about Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. Have you ever heard of the Rosenbergs?
Might have.
You study history at school?
Yeah, I would have.
Then you should have heard about them, okay?
Yeah.
They were a husband and wife who were executed in 1953 for conspiracy to commit espionage. This is when you basically sell out your country to another country, okay? So it's quite interesting. So now the question is, were they traitors who gave the Soviets the secret to the atomic bomb? Or were they scapegoats in a time of hysteria? So that's what we're going to try and look at today. So to understand the Rosenberg case, we need to set the backdrop. In the late 1940s and early 1950s, World War II had ended. But a new conflict was beginning, the Cold War. And it's called the Cold War because there was no actual fighting between America and the USSR. So they didn't actually go onto a battlefield and shoot at each other. There were wars throughout the world, for example, Vietnam, South Korea, that were influenced by America and the USSR, but they didn't particularly claim we're fighting, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the Cold War caused so much problems. If you even look at places like the DRC, Tanzania, it messed up things completely there. I mean, in DRC, Lumumba was assassinated because of this. It's really wild what happened in the world because the USSR and America were fighting, and they were the two superpowers of the world.
Yeah.
They were the countries with the most money, the biggest military. They're like the older brothers that are like, we're in charge. Okay? That's who they were. Right. And in 1949, the Soviet Union shocked the world by testing its first atomic bomb. Right now, remember, America already had atomic bombs. They used their first atomic, the first and only two atomic bombs that have been used were in World War II by America when they bombed Nagasaki and Hiroshima in Japan. And the casualties were catastrophic. I don't even know. That technology needs to be thrown in the ocean somewhere and left there, in my opinion. It's devastatingly... I don't even have words. It causes so much harm. So now it's a bit of a problem that there's whispers that the Soviet Union, the people who they're against, are also developing their own atomic bomb. Because, you know, when you are the only person with the bomb, you like the big guy, you like nobody's going to touch us because they know we're going to come at them. But now if your enemy is also building that bomb, kind of levels the playing field a little bit, and it now starts to get a little bit scary because either one can go at each other. Okay. And this happened years earlier than what the US had expected them to. They thought, okay, maybe in 20 years they'll start developing. But this was like only a couple years after World War II had ended. Okay, and suspicion immediately turned inward. Somewhere, someone had leaked the secrets.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. It does make sense. And I mean, I feel like you'd pay a lot of money for that. Like, give me the secret of the atomic bomb, I'll make you a millionaire. It kind of sounds pretty accurate. In the climate of fear, the hunt for spies intensified. This is where Julius Rosenberg, an electrical engineer working for the U.S. Army Signal Corps, enters our stories. In 1950, Julius Rosenberg was arrested, accused of leading a spy ring and funneled atomic secrets to the Soviets. Not long after, his wife, Ethel Rosenberg, was arrested too. The government claimed she had typed up notes from her brother David Greenglass, who worked at Los Alamos, the state of the Manhattan Project. So the Manhattan Project, if you've watched the movie Oppenheimer, is where they created the atomic bomb. It was known as the Manhattan, you know, like we use all these code names, because why not? We're not going to be like the Atomic Bomb Project. I mean, that's pretty obvious. It was known as the Manhattan Project. So that was where they developed and designed the first the atomic bomb. The main evidence, testimony from Greenglass himself, who claimed Julius recruited him and that Ethel typed up his notes. In return, Greenglass received a lighter sentence. But here's the problem. There was no physical evidence of Ethel's directly linked to espionage.
Yeah.
Her guilt rested almost entirely on her brother's word. Testimony he later admitted he may have exaggerated to protect his own wife. Yo, imagine. Throwing your sister under the bus.
Just like that.
Yo, imagine. The trial of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg began in March 1951. It was explosive. The prosecution painted them as traitors who had handed America's most dangerous weapon to their greatest enemy. And in those times, right, that was a big thing.
Yeah.
And this, you'll see the title of this episode is called The Red Scare. And the reason this episode is called that is this caused something. This caused neighbor to turn on neighbor, being like, you're a spy, reporting people. Like, there was a guy who said, I have a list and I have your name on it. If you, like, don't behave, we're going to arrest you. Wow. So, like, it created, like, this wide, like, spread panic that there were, like, literal communists living next door in your house and you wouldn't even know. And it, like, people wouldn't trust each other. There was suspicion. It was wild back then. Past is wild, guys. Although the present's also pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, the defense argued the case was built on shaky testimony filled by fear, not facts. But the political atmosphere was unforgiving. Senator Joseph McCarthy was on the rise. This was the man with the list. The U.S. was in Korea. The public wanted answers and someone to blame. The jury found both Julius and Ethel guilty of conspiracy to commit espionage. Yeah. The judge, Irving Kaufman, sentenced them both to death, declaring that their crime had, and I quote, altered the course of history by enabling Soviet aggression. That's wild. Imagine you are going to die because you changed history.
Ish.
That's a lot, guys. It was a stunning sentence. Never before had American civilians been executed for espionage in a time of peace. On June 19, 1953, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were executed at Sing Sing Prison in New York. Julius died quickly. Ethel's execution was far more harrowing. The electric chair failed to kill her instantly, and witnesses reported multiple jolts before she was pronounced dead. That's wild.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why we have to have witnesses to these things. But anyway, that's a bit gruesome. Imagine going to watch somebody die.
That's a little bit messed up.
That's a little bit messed up. They left behind two young sons, Michael and Robert, who were later adopted by another family. To this day, their children fight to clear their mother's name. Good on them! Ethel's role, however, remains disputed. Many historians now believe she was not a key player, but was used as leverage to pressure Julius to confess. Even David Greenglass, before his death, admitted he may have lied about her typing the notes. So, were the Rosenbergs both guilty? Was Ethel unfairly executed to send a political message? That's the debate that still rages on today. The Rosenbergs case lives on as one of the most controversial trials in American history, a story of love, betrayal, fear, and justice that may not have been just at all. They were the only American civilians ever executed for espionage during the Cold War, but whether they were true traitors or victims of hysteria is uncertain. And their deaths shocked the world and left questions that will never fully be answered. And I personally believe they never leaked the atomic bomb. Not one person would be able to leak that information.
Yeah.
The way it was built, there was different departments, different things went into it. It wasn't like, okay, it's not like leaking the formula for Coke.
Yeah.
And even Coke, you can't leak the formula, because at different factories, people have different parts of the recipe. So nobody has the full recipe. So if Coke is protecting Coke, do you not think the atomic bomb would be a little bit harder to...
I mean, you know.
You know. Espionage. So I don't disagree that he could have been a spy and sending secrets. There were a lot of people who were doing that. There were a lot of covert Russians in place. I'm not denying that either. But it's not like my guy sent a message saying, okay, to build an atomic bomb, you need to A, get uranium. B, put it in something. So, I don't know. Like I said, he definitely could have been selling secrets. And like I said, it was a time of mass hysteria. People were put on trial. People were suspected. People were not trusted. And I think that's what happened to his wife.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily fair. Although, I don't think she would not know what her husband was doing as well. That also seems a little bit unlikely.
Mm.
But like I said, the Rosenbergs caused this mass hysteria, which led to a Red Scare, and literally people were terrified that they were going to be outed as communists and be arrested or who knows what, ousted by society. It was a very interesting stage, and I think we've spoken about this before. It's very dangerous for that type of public hysteria, because a lot of people get hurt, and it's not even like for no reason. Like we spoke about it with the Salem witch trials. People were killed for absolutely no reason. Here, people were suspected and not trusted, and this woman may have lost her life because of public hysteria. It is so dangerous. Fear, guys, when government uses fear, you should know something's wrong, because they are trying to control you. They're trying to control the narrative. But that's the Red Scare, the Rosenbergs case. Do you have anything you would like to add before we end?
No, nothing else.
Nothing else? No. Well, we hope you enjoyed. We will see you same time, same place next week. Bye-bye.
It's that simple. Become part of the family today, because radio has never been better with Active FM.
This is Radio On Demand. What you want, when you want it.
It's Active FM. Active FM.
Radio has never been better, baby. This is Active FM. Go to www.activefm.co.za for more.
For more. For more.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.